When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
And we are back with another episode of the Kyle Lanzlone Show. And I am very excited to be welcoming back to the show today, Nick Cleveland Stout. He is with the Quincy Institute, but also writing at other outlets like Jobsite News. Nick, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Great to be here with you.
Absolutely. And Nick, something that you have covered a lot over the past probably year and a half, maybe even more, I've been reading your articles on this at the Quincy Institute, has been this massive Israeli influence campaign that's in the United States. And look, you know, there's always been Israel lobbying in the United States, a lot of it targeted at Capitol Hill. But this influence campaign is really directed at Americans, and even then a subset of Americans, American Protestants. And so this has started to get, you've been covering for a long time, but suddenly it's gained a lot of attention as Candace Owens has picked up on. So I want to play this short clip from one of her recent episodes.
The Israeli Foreign Ministry of Affairs via Havas Media decided to contract Show Faith by Works, LLC. Remember, that's the company that's going to geofence your phone on behalf of Israel, and they're going to give you pro-Israel and anti-Palestinian messages, plus this weird October 7th experience in church parking lots. And to be sure, we are talking about a lot of churches that are going to be put under this syndicate, if you will.
So, Nick, what is Candace talking about there? A lot of people might dismiss her as a conspiracy theorist or something like that, but I know she's actually got the details right. So what is going on? Kind of recap some of these Israeli propaganda campaigns she's referring to.
Yeah, so a lot of this started really around fall of last year, where the Israeli government poured a ton of money into outreach toward evangelical Americans, seeing that evangelicals, which, you know, historically are very supportive of Israel, were starting to break in their support for Israel, especially younger evangelicals, particularly over kind of like America First concerns, you know, seeing that it felt like Israel was the one calling the shots oftentimes, and the U.S., you know, the Trump administration wasn't really willing to stand up for itself when it came to Israel. And so what the Israeli government did, they have a few different ventures, but one of the things they did, and what Candace Owens is talking about, is they gave a massive contract to a firm called Show Faith by Works, which is a California-based firm. It's run by this guy who is affiliated with the Faith and Freedom Coalition. His name is Chad Schnitger. He's in Southern California. And the initial FARA filings detailed a ton of very ambitious plans for winning over evangelical Christians. It included, as Candace mentioned, geofencing American cell phones when they would go to church, like specifically during worshiping hours. And what that means is, you know, targeting American cell phones with pro-Israel ads and, you know, sponsoring trips to Israel, things like that. But it also included hiring celebrity spokespeople to work on behalf of Israel. They floated a few different names, actor John Voight, Chris Pratt, NBA superstar Steph Curry. To my knowledge, none of those celebrities responded to this message, or if they did, you know, they kindly said no. And the plan also included a October 7th trailer that they will drive around to different universities and churches. And my understanding is like have VR headsets that I think the words that they used was like, you know, help students and churchgoers understand what it was like to be there on October 7th. And, you know, even with the Nova Music Festival. And the list goes on and on. I think they were also planning at one point on paying pastors themselves on behalf of the Israeli government, sponsoring a lot of trips to Israel. They also have this whole other thing, which is a Israeli government-funded Christian Bible program that I wrote about for Responsible Statecraft a month or two ago. But the point is that it's like a laundry list of things that the Israeli government wanted to happen. I will say a lot of it didn't end up happening, or it doesn't appear to have ended up happening. And there's kind of this theme with a lot of these contractors because the Israeli government right now is throwing money at this problem of bleeding evangelical support. And a lot of these contractors, I think, are aware of that. And as a result, it appears as though a lot of these projects are over-promising, under-delivering. They're way behind schedule, way over budget. And this Show Faith by Works firm is just one example.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's basically a government program, right? Overpriced, takes too long, doesn't get the results promised. One of the interesting things that I have found in this Israeli campaign is, at least from looking at the polls, it doesn't seem to be working in any significant way. It's certainly not reversing the trends of even young Christian Republicans not being as supportive as Israel as they were before. And I do wonder if one of the impact or one of the problems that Israel has here is that, you know, the young Republicans oppose this on the American first grounds, as you said. It's not necessarily that they don't think Israel maybe have some value in an ally or sympathize more with the Israelis versus the Palestinians in a general sense. They certainly look at them as being closer to the American culture than the Palestinians are. You know, Israel is doing these and they're, you know, doing the October 7th experience and things like that, which doesn't seem to be the biggest care of Republicans. It's more, again, the amount of money that we're giving to Israel fighting wars in Iran on behalf of Israel. I'm not sure this is a good selling point. So is there any indication of success? I mean, I know you already said it doesn't seem to be as substantial as they claimed or hoped it would be, but any indication this is working?
If there is, I haven't seen it. Going by the polls, and actually, if you look at the chief of staff at the Israeli Foreign Ministry, Aaron Shayevich, he periodically will post public statements on LinkedIn or Facebook about sort of how the project is going, because he oversees a lot of this budget. And he will even admit like that they haven't really seen a change in the polls yet. But he, at least according to the Israeli Foreign Ministry, they remain very optimistic about the prospect of winning the support of these key demographics, evangelical Christians being one of them. You know, they have all these, if you look at the press releases from the Israeli Foreign Ministry on a lot of these questions, or from other Israeli ministries that are involved in public diplomacy efforts, because there are quite a few, although the foreign ministry is the largest. You know, they'll have a bunch of numbers. Okay, we had X many impressions. We had 2 million unique viewers. We had this many subscribers. But a lot of it doesn't. These metrics don't materialize into the polls, and that's what matters, frankly. I mean, that's what everyone is paying attention to, and the Israeli government hasn't yet seen that success. I think there's also an argument that at this point, to a large degree, they're not necessarily looking to reverse some of these trends in the polls, but they're in full damage control mode, and they're just trying to prevent the degree of losses in some of these key demographics.
Well, one of the baffling things is Israel is working so hard, spending so much money in the United States to propagandize Christians, Protestants, in order to be more supportive of Israel. And yet we keep seeing time and time again things like this. This is a new image. It's a Israeli soldier putting a cigarette into the mouth of a statue of Mary as he's smoking a cigarette. Obviously, you know, meant to mock and degrade the Christian faith in southern Lebanon as Israel is carrying out a Gaza-style campaign against the people in that region, trying to force them out. So is it also baffling to you that Israel is not doing more to, you know, protect the Christians that are under Israeli military control, whether that be Gaza, the West Bank, southern Lebanon, and not mock Christian statues or destroy them like they did the statue of Jesus a few months ago? It's crazy that they're allowing this to happen among their own ranks when they're trying so hard to win over these people in the United States.
I think that's such a key point, because when you look at there's this big internal debate that's been happening since October 7th inside of Israel, inside of these ministries that are coordinating these public diplomacy, these Hasbara efforts. And the debate always centers around, the debate never questions the actions. The debate is always about, you know, how can our Hasbara reach more people? How can it be more effective? How can it tell a story? But it almost never questions the actions themselves, you know, even though like this totally fails to recognize the fact that the issue is not the messaging. The issue is the actions. The issue is the military siege of Gaza, the bombing of southern Lebanon, the bombing of Iran. There's very little self-reflection taking place in terms of these actions themselves. It's all about this undying faith in the use of Hasbara. You know, if we just get the messaging right, then people will recognize that we are in the right here. And this is a fight between good and evil. That's the debate that's taking place in Israel.
Nick, I want to move on and talk to you about this huge story that you have today. It's out at Drop Site News. Prominent Christian Zionist group is lobbying U.S. lawmakers on Israel without revealing it's funded by Israel. Again, incredibly important article. We will be running it as the spotlight tomorrow at antiwar.com. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about Eagle Wings and this new Christian Zionist group.
Yeah, so Eagle's Wings is an organization that sponsors a lot of trips to Israel. They do a lot of outreach to evangelical Americans. It's a you know, Christian Zionist organization. So most of their work revolves around Israel. And, you know, they've historically been funded by, I was able to identify a few of their other donors, 85 Fund, which is this organization that is connected to conservative activist Leonard Leo, you know, a few other pro-Israel organizations that people would be familiar with. But what was not publicly known is that they are actually also funded by the Israeli government. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I discovered, gave a $700,000 check to this group, Eagle's Wings, in September of last year. The part of the check, $245,000 of the check, was for what's called Israel Advocacy Day, which is actually taking place right now, this week. And what Israel Advocacy Day is it's this lobbying effort that's spearheaded by Eagle's Wings to promote a number of pro-Israel talking points on the Hill. You know, Congress is in recess right now, which is actually a great time for a lot of these groups to get their lobbying meetings in, because the staffers have a lot more time, they're more willing to meet. And so this week they've been meeting with over 100 offices, you know, chiefs of staff, national security advisors, what have you, and they've been dropping off pamphlets that have a number of pro-Israel talking points. And I was actually able to get my hands on one of these pamphlets. And so I'll just read off a few talking points of what they're discussing here. But a lot of it centers around the U.S.-Israel military relationship. They are calling for a robust defense cooperation and funding that enhances Israel's ability to defend itself. They are calling for funding of the Iron Dome. They're calling for maintaining Israel's qualitative edge, ensuring that it gets the best military equipment in the region more than even other U.S. partners like Saudi Arabia or the UAE. But what's really, really crucial is that none of this is disclosed under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which is, you know, as you're well aware, the main law concerning foreign lobbying here in the U.S. And if you are working, especially if you're lobbying on behalf of a foreign government, you are supposed to register under this law and disclose what you're doing, you know, who you're meeting with, how much you're being paid. And I want to make this very clear. This group is not registered under FARA.
So that would mean that group is violating U.S. law, right? I mean, you know, we've seen other times where people who are suspected being lobbyists or have taken money to write articles, say, from other countries have been not maybe thrown in jail under FARA, but penalized and prosecuted for it, fined, things like that. So should the Department of Justice be like opening up an investigation here and trying to figure out what the hell is going on Capitol Hill?
In another administration, I think it would be quite likely. The problem here is that one of the first things that former Attorney General Pam Bondi did when she entered office was that she, you know, kind of gutted FARA investigation. The FBI had this task force set up for looking into FARA compliance, and she disbanded that. And she said that basically FARA is only going to be in cases are only going to be investigated in cases of traditional espionage rather than just noncompliance. So in another administration, I could definitely see the Department of Justice doing that. I think it's unlikely, and now with her successor, Todd Blanche, I think it's unlikely that the Department of Justice would do that. But, I mean, it is a textbook FARA case. This is the Israeli government funding an organization not just to sponsor trips to Israel. We know that happens a lot. We know that the 1,000 pastors that went to Israel on a fully funded trip last year. And by the way, Eagles Wings was involved in that too. Robert Stearns, the founder of Eagles Wings, was a guest speaker there, I believe. But this isn't just sponsoring trips to Israel. This is the Israeli government giving funds, $245,000, to a group to directly lobby U.S. lawmakers and develop strategic relationships with these lawmakers. For most of the FARA experts that I talked to said that this is, a textbook case. This meets the definition of a registrant performing political activities on behalf of a foreign principal.
Absolutely. Nick, I want to ask, do you know who they deliver these pamphlets to or what kind of people in Congress they were meeting with? Were they targeting leadership? Were they going after maybe Democrats who are potential or Republicans even who are waffling on the Israel issue? Or were these talking points for like Lindsey Graham? So when Graham and the, you know, Zionist Democrat senators go on MSNBC, CNN, or Fox News, they're all relaying the same message to the American people.
Yeah, good question. It's a mix. I would say that the vast majority of the offices that they met with appear to be very pro-Israel. And I'll run through a few names. They met with Speaker Mike Johnson's office. They met with Representative Tim Burchett's office. They met with Senator John Fetterman's office. No surprises there. They also met with Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. They met with who else? Senator Ted Budd, Marsha Blackburn. The list goes on and on. But my understanding is that they reached out to pretty much whoever they could, even offices that supported Block the Bombs, for instance. Although those offices are probably just less likely to return those emails, but it's a mix, and it's a mix of Democrats and Republicans as well. My understanding was a slight majority Republican, but they reached out to they met with something like 40 40-something Democratic offices as well. So it's and there were 350 people participating in this effort. It seems like it was a, you know, I spoke with one person on the Hill who's over there all the time, and he said that this week there was like 10 times the amount of people there than normally would be on a recess week. So there were a lot of people on Capitol Hill this week carrying out this lobbying campaign. And I would venture to guess that a lot of those 350 people really had no idea that this was Israeli government funded either. You know, but of course this funding, you know, helps provide the materials for this campaign and get the word out and bring people, fly people out for this kind of thing in the first place.
Does there seem to be any particular policy objective Israel is seeking with this lobbying campaign? I know you read off the pamphlet, but those are relatively vague, as to be expected, right? When they actually sit down and they talk to the staffers or the congressmen, they'll say, oh, we're really concerned. We need to sign a new memorandum of understanding, which the U.S. does every 10 years or so with Israel, that pledges we're going to give Israel X billion dollars of military aid every year. I think the current level is 3.8 billion. Of course, not that, you know, Israel Advocacy Day was timed with the fact that there's intense negotiations going on right now between the U.S. and Iran, mediated by Pakistan, to try to end the war. There's apparently a one-page memo. Donald Trump is saying it could be accepted, but if it's not, he's going back to war. So are they also pushing on the Iran issue at all? Are they saying to the members of Congress, like, you know, you can't vote for any agreement that would help facilitate an end to this conflict or anything like that as well?
It's a good question. I couldn't glean anything from that from the talking points, but if you look at what the people that are participating in this are saying and doing outside of the formal, you know, talking points and this forum that they have, the Israel Advocacy Day, like Iran is a huge issue for them. I mean, I watched the on Monday night they had this big kickoff event. This big gala down at the Ronald Reagan building in the atrium, this very fancy event venue in downtown Washington, D.C. And, you know, as attendees were enjoying their three-course meal, then speaker after speaker gets up and delivers, talks about the importance of supporting Israel. But a lot of speakers talked about Iran and how you know, they've been asking for this. This is a key moment. The U.S. needs to support Israel in Iran and in Lebanon. There was a video that they featured that had two IDF reservists. One of them was stationed in Gaza. One of them was stationed in southern Lebanon at the time of their recording. And, you know, they were asking the U.S. or asking attendees to continue supporting Israel. And so Iran was very present at this dinner, this kickoff that they had on Monday. Whether it's something that they are explicitly asking for in the meetings, I'm not sure. But of course, you know, in these lobbying meetings, like, the conversation evolves, and, you know, I think it's only natural that a lot of staffers would have questions about Iran and Lebanon in particular.
Absolutely. And, you know, what we had talked about the Israeli polling before, and you said that at this point it looks like Israel is just trying to stop the bleeding. I think Israel understands that this may be the last time that they have control over, you know, or a significant influence in the White House and on Capitol Hill, as, you know, just demographically in America, younger Americans aren't as supportive of Israel as older Americans are. And it's a critical mass. It's not like it went down from 80% to 70%. I mean, when you're looking at the under 35s, you're talking with some polls in like the 30% range of people who approve of Israel, support what Israel's doing, want to continue the U.S. relationship with Israel. I mean, that's a critical number of people. And even when you poll Republicans under the age of 50, which, you know, I'm kind of right in the middle of that group, and I wouldn't consider myself necessarily a young American anymore, 50% of them don't want to continue to support Israel. So I'm sure Israel is on a full court press right now to get whatever they can out of the United States, understanding their window of influence is closing by the day, essentially. Now, I want to move on. You sent me this clip earlier today. This is Ryan Grimm at an event with Scott Jennings.
there is so much kind of money pouring in to push us in that direction. Even Salem Media, where you do your show, right? Brad Parscale, who is the chief strategy officer there, is a registered foreign agent for the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Like, this is an American, I think it's American, right?
Salem, yeah.
Salem. Yeah. It's an American media company whose chief strategy officer is a foreign agent registered for the state of Israel. And 30% of this company is owned by Larry Trump and Don Trump Jr. So before we're talking about what is America? Who should be an American? It's like, can we as Americans discuss this?
Let's get Scott's response.
Yeah. So you seem to have some issue with Israel having a presence in the United States
American. I think we should be sanctioning Israel.
American universities.
I think they should be sanctioned. Yes. I think it should be criminal for an American media company to take money from the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, because I think they should be under sanctions for what they did in Gaza.
So, Nick, what about the Salem Media Group? Is it run by somebody who is a registered foreign agent of Israel? I know you've written about Brad Parscale quite a bit over the years.
Yeah, no, Ryan is exactly right. And it's amazing to see a question posed that way, because if you run a show and call yourself a journalist and your boss or someone very high up in your organization who is controlling the strategy of that isn't a registered Israeli foreign agent, it's tough to have a response to something like that. Imagine if it were any other country, right? Ryan is exactly right. So in around the same time as Israel started to fund a lot of these efforts to, geofence churches and, this contract with Eagle's Wings as well, they also gave a massive $6 million contract at the time, although now it's more, now it's $9 million contract, to a firm that's run by Brad Parscale, Trump's former campaign manager. And this is the biggest contract that Israel has doled out so far to American contractors. And so his firm, Clock Tower X, it's doing a number of things. It's creating a bunch of websites. A lot of these websites are now live, and they're updated constantly. The point of these websites is to try and influence the ways in which ChatGPT, Claude, other AI chatbots internalize information. And I've tested this out, by the way, asking Claude different questions, and occasionally it will recommend me. It'll cite Brad Parscale's websites. And so it seems to be working. And the other part of this contract, which Ryan is getting at, is to integrate pro-Israel messaging into Salem Media Network. And Salem Media, of course, is this massive conservative media conglomerate. It oversees a ton of syndicated shows. A few that people would be aware of, Scott Jennings, obviously, who's in that clip there. He's having a rough week or two, by the way, after his clip on CNN as well. Hugh Hewitt Show, The Larry Elder Show. There's a bunch that folks would be familiar with, but especially like the ones that especially people in the older evangelical community would listen to. And his entire job is to integrate these pro-Israel messages into all of these networks. And we don't have a ton of details on what that looks like. But of course, I'm not a daily listener of any of these shows, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a ton of criticism of Israel on these shows.
Right. And just imagine, too, a counterfactual where it's Megyn Kelly's network or the Tucker Carlson network that's receiving funding directly from the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Iranian or the Qatari Ministry of Foreign Affairs, right? They would certainly be under investigation. It would be headline news in the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal and all these outlets. And yet, you know, no offense to you and Drop Site News, but we are the independent media, right? You're not these mainstream outlets. And this is really the only place you could find this information is from you and Ryan Grimm. Harrison Berger, I know, has covered it. I've had him on the show a few times. Just to wrap up here, I did want to note on how pervasive and extensive the Israeli influence operation in the United States is right now. You know, we're talking just in this show about them targeting Christian pastures, bringing them to Israel, 1,000 of them, to propagandize them, geofencing Americans as they go to church and then hitting them with targeted ads, these websites to influence AI, owning media groups, lobbying our representatives on Capitol Hill. I mean, this is a full cultural political effort by Israel to influence and indoctrinate Americans that we have this special, unique, religious, even Judeo-Christian relationship that must be upheld and that the America must at all times be supportive of Israel. While at the same time, Israel is destroying Christian towns in the West Bank, Christian villages in southern Lebanon. They're hitting churches and killing Christians in the West Bank and in Gaza. I mean, it seems absolutely absurd that Israel is able to get away with it, that this isn't a major topic of national conversation, that you have this one country of just 8-9 million people who are effectively able to direct the culture and the political environment of the United States, or do everything they can to do that. And really, if it wasn't for the genocide in Gaza, I'm not sure there would have ever been enough truth and reality to wake up the American people up to the propaganda. So, Nick, any comments on that?
Yes. I mean, I think that's a lot. I mean, that's a very good summary of, you know, where we're at. Right. I think that what we're seeing right now is this full court press by the Israeli government to try and shore up support among, you know, young people, conservatives, evangelicals. Those are kind of the three main demographics that I think they care about right now. And I think what you said earlier is spot on about how they see this moment as a window in which they are trying to, you know, take this very maximalist expansionary position in the Middle East, in which they are, you know, attacking Iran, attacking southern Lebanon, taking steps to annex the West Bank, this the military siege and genocide in Gaza, like all these things they're doing because they're aware that the Trump administration isn't going to do much to push back on them, frankly. But they see these changing demographics. The writing is on the wall to an extent. I think that they have this bank shot influence operation that it's not, right? And I think that for everything that we're seeing now, and this is a key point, for everything that we're seeing right now, it is only going to increase. It's only going, this influence operation is only going to expand further. Because just looking at the budget, and all of this starts with the budget, right? You know, Joe Biden famously said, "Show me your values. You know, show me your budget, and I'll tell you your values." Right? Although he didn't really live up to that when he was president. But you know, it's true. Like, if you look at the budget, and you can see where this is headed, you can see what the values are, and what you see when you look at the budget that the Israeli Knesset just passed is that they are still very invested in Hasbara in the U.S. and influencing Americans more than ever. They had $150 billion, if we're converting to U.S. dollars, allocated for influence operations in 2025. That number is over $750 billion for 2026. So it's more than quadrupling. And, you know, that budget was just passed. And so I expect a lot more to come out about what Israel is doing in the months that come. I think the question that's on my mind is whether it's going to be registered under FARA or not. Because, you know, some of the firms that did register under FARA caught a lot of heat for it and, you know, ended up even having to make public statements about about what they were doing and what they're not doing. Show Faith by Works is one such example. And I think that there will be, you know, we'll see what happens. But the fact that Eagles Wings, this group that I wrote about for Dropsite, did not register under FARA and has not registered under FARA despite explicitly engaging in lobbying operations on the Hill, the definition of a political activity, I can't think of something more definitional for it. It's deeply concerning. So we'll see if they register or not. I'll be tracking it and seeing what happens.
Nick, thank you so much for your time on the show today. Your analysis and particularly your investigative reporting here and around this topic has been essential and so important. I mean, you're absolutely humiliating the New York Times and all these mainstream outlets that I'm sure have a lot more resources and connections than you necessarily have available to you. And you're the one putting out these bombshell reports. So really keep up the good work. I read everything that you write. I hope my audience will as well. And everybody, be sure to like and share this episode of the Kyle Anslone Show. That's the way you're going to get, you know, Nick's reporting out there to some more viewers, some more ears and eyes. And make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We have Dan McKnight coming up on Thursday to talk about Defend the Guard and U.S. wars in the Middle East.
A BetterHelp ad. Therapy isn't just for times of major challenge. It's a valuable tool for anyone wanting to improve their well-being. It can help you develop healthy coping skills, set boundaries, and support personal growth. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a fully licensed therapist right from your phone. No commuting, no waiting rooms. And you can switch therapists at any time. Sign up at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com.